stewarding our opportunities. God's been working in my heart a little bit about a couple of different things, and he brought me to these passages of scripture for this morning. I pray that they're encouragement, I pray that they're a help, and I pray that they actually not just, they make a difference in our lives. Now, there's a couple passages of scriptures, some of them are longer, we're going to read through it, give a little bit of commentary, and try to get to a certain point, and I think we should have enough time to get there, but hopefully it makes sense. Ephesians chapter number 4, and great chapter of the Bible, book of Ephesians is just a great book of the Bible. We're going to read verses 11 all the way down through 24, and we're going to show you some things that we're going to make reference to in just a little while. Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So these are gifts that have been given to the church, and he's saying they were given and there's a reason or a purpose. Verse number 12, here's the reason why they were giving. They weren't given, and sometimes people abuse offices. Sometimes people they take advantage of certain things. Sometimes it's the person that's in there. Sometimes it's reciprocated that the people take advantage of the people that have been given there. But it's saying, here's a purpose why it was given, for the perfecting of the saints. So what does that mean? It means to mature. It means to help them become more like Christ. So that's what, you know, when a pastor gets up and he preaches and teaches, apostles, of course, we know, and prophets, we know the different things about when it concerning those and the times that have ended. There's no new prophecies that are going to be being revealed, but it's preaching the word that's there now, and evangelists. And we've looked at what all those different things mean, but what is the purpose of them? It's to help perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there's a purpose that's there. So I want you to remember that. Hey, God's given these men to be, and sometimes, you know, ladies, teachers, to be an encouragement and help to the body. Verse 13, until we all come in the unity of the faith. Once again, that is something that is a mature believer is going to be headed the same direction. To come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that's a little note there that we're going to look a little bit more at is that's the goal. And it's, you know, there's some things here, okay? It's for the perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. We're supposed to be unified, you know, be maturing. But here's the mark. Here's the measuring tape. Am I becoming like Christ? That's what the goal is. Am I acting like Christ and being like Christ? Sometimes people like to measure church in the fact, hey, we're all unified, we're all headed the same direction. They could be headed the wrong way, but it's here's the measuring stick is, am I coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Then verse 14, it talks about how we're not supposed to be, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking truth and love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we should not be swayed by just different doctrines that men come up with. We know the word of God, the Bible, we're supposed to be growing up into the head, even Christ. And then it begins to talk about the church here, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And once again, in these verses, we could spend a lot of time, but we're trying to get to a certain area. This I therefore say, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So he says, look, there's a way you're supposed to act. You're not supposed to walk like other Gentiles walk. Those that do not know Christ, those do not understand Christ, they can't understand spiritual things. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So they're saying, hey, you can't walk like the Gentiles do. You shouldn't walk like the Gentiles. The bad thing is that when Gentiles or the unsaved begin influencing other Christians and they begin acting a certain way, and then we let those that are Christians begin to act like they're acting and they're acting like the Gentiles, we're making a big mistake. We need to say, what's the measuring stick? It's not because just because somebody uses the name Christian or somebody uses the name church on something, it makes it okay. The Bible says, is it act like Christ? Does it look like Christ? Is it something that is Christ would do? Is what our questions should be. Let's keep on going. who being past feeling have given, in verse number 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They have a different purpose in their life. But ye have not so learned Christ. You did not learn that from Christ. Some of the things that people make excuses for or make, they justify, they didn't learn that from Christ. They didn't learn that from the Bible. They didn't learn that from God. They developed it on their own. They've listened to other people. And they also, many times, are getting it from the Gentiles. So what is the litmus test? What is the yardstick? What does the Bible say? What does Christ say? If so being that you heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, and here's that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's saying, so this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take off those things of the old man. It's like changing your shirt. You take something off. Just if you want to put a new shirt on, because this shirt's dirty, normally you just don't cover it up. You take those things off. You get rid of those things. And you renew it in the spirit of your mind. You let God do the work. And then you put something else on. The problem is that sometimes people are looking and they're seeing that old, dirty, stinking shirt and they're saying, hey, I like that shirt, and I go and I put it back on, the works of the flesh. He says, so are we stewarding our opportunities? You know, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm saying that in this world we have tons of opportunities. Specifically when it comes to a church and a ministry, there's a lot of things that God can and is interested in doing. But what should be the measuring stick? Churches all across America, they're struggling with, hey, should I do this? Should I do not? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? It comes to this point of, am I becoming more like Christ? So the first point is, there's just a few questions we're going to ask today. What is the goal? What is the goal? Verse 13, once again, is unto the measure of the fullness of Christ. Our goal should, our desire should be to become like Jesus. That should be our goal. That should be our desire. How do we become like him? We read his word. We learn about him. We follow his spirit. All those different things. Now, when we raise our kids, what should I do? What shouldn't I do? We want them to become like Christ someday. So we got to pattern our lives that way and lead them that way and take them that direction. What should I do when it comes to this area? What would Christ do? This is the measuring stick. This is where... am I acting like Christ here? No, Christ was forgiving. Yes, Christ was strong at times. Christ, many times, he was our perfect example. And I want to encourage you today. When it talks about in chapter number 14 there, it says, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, some people are like, we need to be unified. And I agree with you. The Bible teaches that, striving together, that we should be working together, had the same way, the same path, all those different things. But I've seen churches unified going the wrong way. So if the goal is for us to become like Christ, that means we all have the same goal. If that's what we're striving for, if that's what we're looking for, if that's what we're desiring, if I'm desiring to be like Christ and want to become more like him, and you desired to want to be like Christ, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be unified. We're going to be headed the same path. It's going to be headed the same way. When I do marriage counseling, or even better, when I talk to someone who's getting ready to get married, I said, hey, you need to grow closer to God. But when you grow closer to God, you're going to grow closer to one another. So if you have God up here, and you have the husband and the wife that are at odds with one another, and they're struggling, as they both grow closer to God, you know what's going to happen? They're going to grow closer to one another. Because their goals change, their purpose in life change. And so when we consider church, sometimes people think, oh, church is a social club. I enjoy fellowship. I look around and this is where many of my friends are at. If not here, maybe at other ministries. There's the people I spend time with, the people I enjoy. All those different things that happen. But that's not the reason why Christ died for the church. He didn't die for it so that way you could have friends. He died so that way we could further on, so that way we could be saved and on the way to heaven and work together as a body of believers. Yes, unified, but unified in what? Unified in becoming more like Christ. Not what the Gentiles teach, not what the unsaved teach, and taking off those old things that have pulled the church back and it's pulled believers back and that's even kept people from ever accepting Christ, put on the new man, which says, hey, this is what God wants for us. This is what God desires. Yes, we can be unified, and we do preach and teach as a church we should be unified, but I've seen some churches be unified about some pretty nasty things before, and they are in agreement with things that are just not Christ-like. So I wanted you to think about what that measuring stick is. What is it our goal should be in life? It should be like him. You say, Pastor, I don't know what that means. I think I'm like Christ. Well, the fruits of the Spirit is a good indicator. Those things, are they coming out of your heart or coming out of your life? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Are you walking with him? This is what our goal should be. I know goals are a good thing. Sometimes people have physical goals. Sometimes people have material goals. Sometimes people have goals to get in shape. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with trying to save up to have something. There's nothing wrong with doing things. But the biggest and the thing that should drive us in a passion is, I want to be like you. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And then begins to talk about how awesome it was going to be like Christ. No, it begins to show how he was humble and how he was even obedient. Not just obedient, he was obedient unto the death. Not just death, the death of the cross. There is challenges that are found here. But if our goal is all together, what can I do to become more like Christ? What can we do to make disciples of Christ? What can we do to encourage people, to reach out to people? Then we're going to be all on the same team because we're all headed the same direction. But when the flesh, ugly head rears up, and sometimes it does, and they start saying, we need to do this, we need to do that, and they start being fleshly, you know what the problem is? We recognize and says, that's not Christ-like. We're not going to let that person determine who's going to make decisions because we're all headed in the same goal, and we can tell when something is more anti-Christ. So the first thing I want you to think about is, what is the goal? Same thing with your marriage. If you grow closer to God, you're going to grow closer to your mate. Same thing in your family. Sometimes there's people that will disagree. There are sometimes on preferences because of where someone was raised or because where something we learned. You know, there's different ways of doing things. And sometimes people butt heads. But if we realize the ultimate goal is, hey, I want to be like Christ, we're going to be okay with that because we're going to want to act like them, act like Christ, and become more like him. So that's true in our church family. As we all become more like him, we'll go closer together. It's true inside our physical families. But how do you achieve that goal? It's found in verses 22 and 23 and 24. It's when we stop doing the old things and we begin doing the new. I know we alluded to it already, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It means we take off the things that are fleshly. We put on those things that are righteous. That's how we become and reach our goal. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles now to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians talks a little bit about being a steward. 1 Corinthians, and we'll have you be in chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. It's great to go to a church where everybody's unified. And I think we have a good spirit here. I think over the years I've been encouraged and blessed by the people, and I think I know so many people say how much they love their church family and how much they want to help one another and all those different things, and I think it's great. But remember, the ultimate goal has got to be like Jesus. And it's not about just getting along. I'm going to just overlook this or overlook that so we can just all get along. And sometimes with preferences, that may be one thing. But it's like, okay, someone's acting fleshly here. Do we feed into that flesh or do we have a desire to, hey, let's be more like Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, that church is struggling a little bit. Some of you know the story about the church of Corinth, and it struggled some. They had some problems with sin. Even in the second epistle of 2 Corinthians, it seems like they're even giving Paul a hard time. But here in 1 Corinthians, one of the things they say in chapter number 3, they talk about how he wanted to. Actually, why don't you take your Bible and just flip over to chapter number 3. He says, and brethren, I could not, in verse number 1, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. So the problem here is there's fleshly people acting like fleshly people inside a church. And he says, I wanted to talk to you about becoming more like him. I wanted to talk to you about harder things, deeper things, stronger things, but I couldn't. You're too fleshly minded. You were not ready for the idea of we need to become like Christ and working together. Your mind is too much like the flesh. You have not taken off those fleshly things, the conversation of the past. You had not put on the new things. You're immature as a believer. And he's saying here in chapter number 3, they were saying, hey, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas. They're dividing us amongst a group because of the fact that they're all saying, no, I'm more like Paul and I'm more like Cephas. Or those are the people that I'm following. And Paul's here writing, he says, that's foolishness. That's not the real problem. The real problem is you're not trying to become like Christ. The real problem is you're looking to a man, and that man, whether Cephas or Paul or Cephas or Apollos, and Cephas is referring to Peter there, it's like the issue is this. You're carnal. You're immature. You're not having the same goal everybody else does. Because you don't have the same goal everybody else does, it is separating the church. And you got to remember, we're laborers together with God. And then later on in the chapter, he talks about, hey, remember, someday you're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Someday you're going to be judged for what you do during your Christian life. You want to make sure you get this right. And then as he continues on in chapter number, and later on in the chapter, it talks about how we don't belong ourselves, that we're the temple of God. And then you go to verse number 22 in chapter 3. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ. It's okay. It's no longer you. You belong to Christ, and Christ is God's. So you belong to God. Then you come to chapter number 4, and another familiar verse right at the beginning. It says, actually, verse number 2 is a familiar verse. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, that word steward is an interesting word. It's not one that's used as much nowadays, but it's when someone gives you something to take care of it. Like, for instance, if I let you actually, we'll use Scott, for example, because Scott's fun to pick on. Scott's got a dog, and he loves the dog, Elsa. If he let you take care of Elsa, you would have a certain expectation, right, of how you should take care of Elsa, correct? Elsa's not going to be outside in the rain all day, right? She's not going to live outside. She's going to be in the house, sitting in the couch next to you. And if you don't want to take care of Elsa that way, that's fine. Scott will find somebody else to take care of Elsa the way that Scott wants Elsa taken care of. And, okay, that's Scott's dog. It's Scott's business. But at the same time, it's with us. If we give you somebody or something of ourselves and ask you to take care of it, there's usually an expectation. While you're taking care of my child, or while you're taking care of my house, or while you're taking care of this, I'm expecting that you're going to take care of the right way. And when it's talking here about being a steward, God has made a case here. In chapter, Paul's made a case. God has made it through Paul, saying, look, this stuff is not yours. It belongs to God. Now, how are you being a steward of it? And look what it says in verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So, if the goal is to be like Christ, how are you stewarding that? If the goal is, hey, I want to be like Jesus, and God's given me this time, this treasure, this talent, what am I doing when it comes to being a steward of that? What has God given us? If it all belongs to God, he's given us our bodies. He's given us our time. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. He's given us treasure. He's given us talents. Now, how are we using those? Verse number 3, but with me is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. He's saying, look, what man says really does not matter as much as God says. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. He says, the Lord's going to be the one to judge me. And many times people use that as an excuse, well, God's going to be my judge. And they use it flippantly so that way somebody stops criticizing something that they're doing that's unchristlike. And they're right. God is going to be their judge someday. But he's saying, look, don't use your time criticizing so many other people with this. Figure this out, that the Lord's going to be your judge. And that's not something that says, okay, God's going to be my judge. I'm going to skate easy for the rest of my life, and someday I'm going to have to answer to him. No, God's your judge. He's the one's the owner of it. It's sort of like last week when we saw the baby dedication and the Brandenburgs with Josiah. And Here it is. Lord, we made this child, but you gave me this child, and we're offering it back to you. They're making a commitment in front of their church family, in front of their friends, in front of their family, that I don't believe that this belongs to me. I believe this belongs to you. You've given me this child for me to raise the way that you want it raised. And how does he want him raised? He wants him to become like Christ someday. So I'm going to make decisions based off of, hey, how is this going to be more Christ-like? And this is missed by so many of us. And I'll say us, because me included, because I make decisions each and every day based off of what's best in my own human thinking. But instead of saying, okay, what would Christ want? How is Christ's desire for my life? Verse number 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to the light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So, here's some things about how are we stewarding our church. How are we stewarding our church? In verse chapter number 3, it talks about the immaturity that was there. Paul says, hey, I was ready to dig into some things to try to teach you how to go farther in your Christian life. There was a problem. I couldn't teach you those things. You hadn't stewarded the time and the resources and the talent that you had already. You've kept it fleshly. Because you kept it fleshly and because you haven't grown, I had to repeat the same message about taking off the old stuff, putting on the new stuff, because you never heard it the first time. And instead of being focused on taking off the old and putting on the new, you begin saying, well, I like this guy better, and I like this guy better, and I like this guy better. And Paul's saying, you're missing the whole point why you're here. You're missing the whole point why you're a body that is jointly fit together. What's the goal? The goal is for us to become like him. And as we become like him, that's the measuring stick. So how am I stewarding my life? Towards the end of chapter number 3, if you go up there, you see in verse number 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If you go back to verse number 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And we hear it later on in the 2 Corinthians. It talks about all those other things about we belong to the Lord. And chapter 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God within your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So how do I glorify God? By being like him. That's the fullness of the Spirit of God. This fullness of the stature. What is the measure of the fullness of the stature? Am I like him? So how are we doing with stewarding that? Don't get me wrong. I know we have goals and achievements for kids, for maybe people that we teach, maybe for our mates, and things like that. But are they our dreams or what God dreams for them? You know, I know I have 2 sons, and I know when growing up, I had certain desires for them. There are certain things I still want to see them have, and certain things I still want them to see them do, but that might not be God's desire. But the greatest thing in my life I could do is to dream that they would be like Christ someday, and then make decisions that is based off of helping them become like Christ, and showing them what Christ looks like in my relationship with them. Now, I fail at that. But at the same time, that's still got to be the goal. If the goal is for them to get married and have kids, which I hope both of them do, I don't know if anybody will ever take either one of them, but you know, if that's my goal, then you know what? If that's not God's will, then I've messed it up. I want what God's will is for their life. I want them to become like him. So have I stewarded that? And think about it in relationships with our life, with our own life. You know, what is saying being steward there in verse number 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. How are we doing with what God's given us to steward? He's given us a great church. I thought about it. We've been here for a number of years. Many of you have been here longer than I have. And how are we stewarding the resources he's given us? We got a great church family. They love one another. They're good to one another. Is that the goal, though? Does Christ desire more from us? So when you talk about your own life, What about your time that God's given you, the talents that God's given you, the treasure that God's given you, the relationship, your friends, your family, your church family, your coworkers, your neighbors, your ministry, all those things that God's given you? How are you doing when it's stewarding? Because those, if we believe what the Bible says, those are things that God gave to you, but you're going to give an account for it. Just like we mentioned about Elsa and the dog, when Scott comes to pick up Elsa, you know, how was she? You know, did you give her that food? Did you take her on those walks? There's other things I expected. There's an accountability that goes along, especially if Scott's paying somebody to do it. There's an expectation. God has given us certain things. There's an expectation of things that should be done or should not be done. So then I know this is a question that I've asked before as an illustration, and we're going to finish with this illustration. You say, okay, Pastor, I'm pretty good. I do okay. But are we becoming like Christ? And that we're never going to attain that per se. We have not apprehended, as Paul talks about in Philippians 3, but we're pressing towards that mark. So ask yourself this question. What if everyone in the church was just like you? What if everyone in the church was just like you? And you thought about it. You know, if everyone came to church just as much as you did, would our church have a Sunday school service? Nobody showed up, would you have it? Wednesday night. Now, obviously, you're here at Sunday school, so I know I'm preaching to the choir in a sense, but it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, I'm here. Of course we'd have Sunday school because I'm here. Okay, what about if everybody in the church had the same attitude that you had? What type of attitude would the church have? Now, I know there are some people who are so focused on work, that's great, and they're going to be able to accomplish a lot, but sometimes they're doing it by themselves, and there's no relationship. No one wants to work with them. And then I know there's other people who don't want to do anything and just want to be served. And if everybody's like them, there's not going to be anybody to serve. So they're just going to sit there. What about in our outreach? If everybody was in the church, was just like you, how many people would be invited to the Easter program? How many tracts would have went out last week? Obviously, it's for the Lord, but of us, if everyone was like you, how as much outreach as you gave, how many people would have been invited? How about your giving? If everyone was like you, and once again, the church has been blessed, they had a good year last year, the year before that, thankful for that. Is that the goal? No. It's to be Christ-like. Now, if we're Christ-like, it means that we're going to be interested in giving because he's a perfect example of giving, but not just giving, giving all. And so, you know, if in your giving, in your service, if everyone was just like you, then would anything get done or would too much get done? Yeah, how about our prayer life? How much time, if everyone was just like you, would we spend praying last week or reading our Bible or memorizing scripture or growing as a Christian or walking with God? Each of us, the Lord has brought us here. I know some of you, most of you are church members, some are not. Some are talking about becoming church members, and that's great, and that's fantastic. Our relationship that's here, what is that goal? I want to be like him. Am I stewarding that spot in my life? And God's brought you here to faith. He's put you together with a group of believers. And as you're together with this group of believers, if everyone was just like you, what would the church be like? Maybe super great at singing, but really bad at being friendly. Maybe really, really super smart, but don't know how to really associate with anybody. I don't know what the different things. These are not anybody specific. It's just we should be well-rounded individuals. Remember, for the perfecting of the saints means that's a mature, well-rounded individual. Some people are going to have some strengths. Some think people are going to have some weaknesses, and that's the great part. Not everybody in the church is like you. Believe me, I would not want to come to a church where everybody was just like me. I definitely wouldn't, because I know myself. But at the same time, if everyone is like me, then what would need to change? And those are the areas we need to work on. Remember, that goal isn't to be financially stable. That goal isn't to be just in unity. Those are byproducts of people wanting to be like Christ. Should we preach about being unified? Yes, but unified for the right thing. Should we give? Yes. So that way, not because we have to, but because we get to, because we have the heart and mind that Christ has. So today, you know, I'd like to see our church move forward. I know we talked about it a few weeks ago. I like to see God work and move in our hearts and lives, that we see fruit and fruit that remains. Will that happen if everyone's just like you? Take off the old, put on the new. Make our goal in life not to maybe be the richest or the most famous or whatever it is that maybe you have a lofty expectation to. And there's nothing wrong with dreaming. Just make sure you're dreaming what God's dreamed for you. And we can have Christ-like men and Christ-like women doing all varieties of different things all across the world, because God hasn't called all of us to be preachers. But we can have a variety of Christ-like people doing all types of things, just like you see in the New Testament. But that's got to be the goal. Sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we dream for our kids, I want them to be the next whatever it is that you want them to be. I know from my dad, he said, you better never become a police officer, because he was a police officer for all those years. But sometimes people want them to follow, they want their kids to follow in their footsteps. And I think that's great if those footsteps are to Christ and Christ-like. And not just for those that have kids, but for all of us. Now, what's that goal? It's to become like him. That's the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the measuring stick. That is what we should be looking for. Let's pray.